RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Hello, my listener. Welcome back to English Bulletin over RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. In today's edition, we'll present to you our program summary for today. First, we'll bring you our news, followed by news from across the country, today in history, highlight of the week, weekend review, and news in brief. We'll continue to our next program with Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany. We'll conclude our program for today with listener's mailbag. That was our program summary for today. Stand by now for the news.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news first, the headlines. Indonesian President Joko Widodo received King Abdul Aziz Medal. Indonesian Agrarian Minister says, accelerate borderland certification. Now the news in details. President Joko Widodo received the King Abdul Aziz Medal awarded at the Al Salam Diwan Malaki Palace. Earlier Saturday, September 12th, the President met Islamic Development Bank IDB President Ahmed Ali Al-Madani and Organization of Islamic Cooperation OIC Secretary General Iyad Madani. Ari Dwi Payana, a member of the Presidential Communication Team, said in Jakarta on Saturday, the President visited the Al Salam Diwan Malaki Palace to attend official ceremony and to have lunch with Saudi Arabia's King. Jokowi was also scheduled to lead the Indonesian delegation in a meeting with the Saudi's delegation before attending a number of business meetings with business owners from both countries at the Hotel Crown Plaza. Jokowi will also spend the rest of the evening to meet Saudi Arabia's Finance Minister, Foreign Affairs Minister and Manpower Minister. Earlier, President Jokowi departed for Middle East to visit Saudi Arabia, United Arab Emirates and Qatar. Minister of Agrarian Affairs and Spatial Planning, Head of National Land Agency Ferry Murshidan, promised to speed up certification of land in border regions of Indonesia. He said in Manado on Saturday, September 12th, the certifications of land rights in the border region should be implemented to safeguard the territory of Indonesia. He made the statement when speaking at the national seminar entitled Agricultural Policy to Achieve Justice Living Space, in front of Samratulangi University students. Ferry also said that the government needs to accelerate the process of assets legalization over land rights at the border because of there is the potential of it escaping from the Republic of Indonesia. He said the process of land legalization will be done on private land, indigenous groups or communal and government assets in border regions. Ferry declared the legality of land ownerships in border regions will be territorial boundaries between Indonesia and neighboring countries. Recognitions of land assets in the area adjacent to other countries is quite important because there is the potential for the boundary to be shifted. He revealed the government's recognitions of community land tenure security will increase the sense of nationalism. Indonesian councillor in Vanimo, Papua New Guinea, or PNG, Elmar Iwan Lubis reported Saturday, September 12, that two Indonesian citizens were being held hostage by an unknown group in Skotiau village, Papua New Guinea. Elmar said through email on Saturday previously, Indonesian counselor received information about two Indonesian citizens who were declared missing in a shooting incident in Skopron, Kirom village several days ago. Based on the information, two Indonesian citizens were allegedly taken by an unknown group, Skotiau village, Papua New Guinea. In addition, Elmar also said the Indonesian consulate in Vanimo had also received information from Papua New Guinean soldiers in Vanimo that the soldiers have already learned about the two Indonesian citizens who were being held hostage by the unknown group. Elmar said the two Indonesian citizens are reportedly in a good condition. According to Elmare, the Papuan New Guinean soldiers also informed Indonesian consulate in Vanimo that they continue to make efforts to free the two Indonesians. He said, however, Indonesia emphasized that the safety of its two citizens as the main priority. This comes to you from RRI's World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. The Islamic Development Bank IDB is in the process of drafting a $5 billion financing program to establish strategic cooperation with its member states. IDB President Dr. Ahmad Mohamed Ali Al-Madani said at a press conference after a meeting with President Joko Widodo at the King Faisal Palace in Jeddah on Saturday, IDB had asked for inputs. At the meeting with President Joko Widodo, and Indonesia is interested in the field of infrastructure and agriculture. Mohamed expressed hope that the strategic cooperation program would help IDB member states. As a follow-up to his meeting with Indonesian leader, he added that both sides had agreed to finalize the draft cooperation program. At the meeting, Mohamed and President Joko Widodo also discussed the role played by Indonesia to improve capacity building among IDB members. He further praised Indonesia for its role in the IDB. Indonesia is not only one of IDB's founder, but is also active in various activities involving member states. Susilo Bambang Yudhoyono, the chairman of the Global Green Growth Institute, said recently, the former president of Indonesia said while delivering a lecture at the commemoration of Pajajaran University's 58th anniversary at the Graha Sanusi Haryadinata building in Bandung, West Java on Friday, Indonesia is aware that the considerable increase in the global population will raise human needs for foods, energy, and so on. Given the population forecast, global demand for food will rise by 70%, he said, quoting the results of a study. Yudhoyono said demand for food will increase by 70%, while demand for water and energy will go up by 60%. He likened the population growth to an arithmetical progression and food and energy needs to geometrical progression. Citing an example, he said he was concerned about environmental destructions which had led to climate change in the world, including in North Bandung. Therefore, he urged everyone to make efforts to prevent the area's climate from worsening so that future generations can still enjoy the beautiful scenery. Listener, that was the news from RRI's World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. I'm Nuka Kusumawati.
Hello, listener, wherever you are. Welcome back. In our weekly segment, News from Across the Country, which presents you various interesting events from across the country during the week. Listener, the first news comes from Bantul, Yogyakarta. Water Resources Regency of Bantul Regency, Yogyakarta Special Region, operates 12 pumps to suck up water from river during dry season to help farmers meet the needs of farming irrigation water. Head of Operational and Irrigation Network Maintenance Division at Water Resources Service, Bantul, Wagio, last Wednesday said that the 3-inch 12 water pumps will spread in some areas whose farmland lacks of water, like Trimulyo Jetis Village, Sungai Progo in Serandakan, and the hilly area, Dlingo. According to Wagio, the pumps procurement to help farmers in a program that has been running since the past 2 years or three. Water pump operation involves water absorbing expert. The water pumps have been operated since July with the needs of 20 liters of solar per day, but its use is adjusted with the needs of irrigation water. Listener, now we move to Gorontalo Province, Sulawesi. Gorontalo Province Marine and Fisheries Service built 100 fish apartment on Bolihutos Beach, where the peak event of Boa Lemo Festival was held. Head of Gorontalo Province Marine and Fisheries Service, Sutrisno, last Wednesday said that the apartment are built in 20 spots around 100 meters from the edge of beach. Every spot has 5 apartment units which are close to one another. According to him, fish apartments have to be assembled on the land. Then they are arranged by divers in the sea in a depth of 15 to 20 meters. Every unit of apartment is made of plastic partitions consisting of many rooms. placement in the sea bottom needs ballast made of cement and sand in order to be swept away by flow. He revealed that marine ecosystem life is related to one another, so that all aspects should be taken care of. Otherwise, it will threaten its preservation. According to Sutrisno, the making of abutments was done by joint divers of Fishery Service, Polda Gorontalo Regional Police and the Indonesian Diving Association, POSI. The seeds of krapu or grouper were spread in all of abutments on the peak of Bualemo Festival last September 10th. The last news is from Bitung, North Sulawesi. The Indonesian Naval Base or Lantamal 8 Manado held open ship of KRI Dewaruchi Navy Warship in the dock of Samuel Languyu, Bitung, North Sulawesi. Head of Maritime Potential Service at Lantamal Manado, Marine Lieutenant Colonel Abdul Wadud, last Tuesday said that KRI Dewaruchi open ship aims to introduce people to KRI or Warship of Republic of Indonesia. KRI Dewaruchi open ship was held from September 7 to 10, 2015 in Samuel Languyu Dock. The Indonesian Navy Force Satkamla Lantamal 8 Complex in Bitung. KRI Dewaruchi is training ship for cadets of the Navy Force Academy in Surabaya, East Java. The ship with the length of 58.5 meter and the width of 9.5 meter from Borkentin class was made in HC Stolzen and Schoenhamburg, Germany, and it is the only one high-pole sailboat of shipyard product in 1952, which is still worth sailing from three boats that have been produced. Listener, that ends news across the country from RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. I'm Hernita. Thank you for listening.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
Today in history. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
This is RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, with Today in History, a regular segment which brings back people and events from this date in the past as recorded in history. Let's begin with 2007, the Declaration on the Rights of Man is adopted by the United Nations General Assembly. The United Nations Declaration on the Rights of Indigenous Peoples, or UNDRIP, was adopted by the United Nations General Assembly during the 61st session at the UN headquarters in New York City on September 13, 2007. While as a General Assembly declaration, it is not legally binding instrument under international law, according to the United Nations, it does represent the dynamic development of international legal norms and it reflects the commitment of the United Nations member states to move in certain direction. UNDRIP, which codifies indigenous historical grievances, contemporary challenges, and socio-economic, political, and cultural aspiration, is a culmination of generation-long efforts by indigenous organizations to get international attention, to secure recognition for their aspirations, and to generate support for their political agendas. Next, move to 1993. On September 13, 1993, at the White House, the United States, Israeli Prime Minister Yitzhak Rabin, and PLO Chairman Yasser Arafat shook hands after signing an accord granting limited Palestinian autonomy. The Oslo I Accord, or Oslo I, officially called the Declaration of Principles on Interim Self-Government Arrangements, or short, a Declaration of principles, DOP, was an attempt in 1993 to set up a framework that would lead to the resolution of the ongoing Israeli-Palestinian conflict. It was the first face-to-face agreement between the government of Israel and the Palestine Liberation Organization, or PLO. Negotiations concerning the agreement, an outgrowth of the Madrid Conference of 1991, were conducted secretly in Oslo, Norway, hosted by the FAFO Institute, and completed on August 20, 1993. The Oslo Accords were subsequently officially signed at a public ceremony in Washington, D.C. on September 13, 1993, in the presence of PLO Chairman Yasser Arafat, the then Israeli Prime Minister Yitzhak Rabin, and U.S. President Bill Clinton. The documents themselves were signed by Mahmoud Abbas for the PLO, Foreign Minister Simon Peres for Israel, U.S. Secretary of State Warren Christopher for the United States, and Foreign Minister Andrei Koizurev for Russia. The accord provided for the creation of a Palestinian interim self-government, the Palestinian National Authority, or PNA. The Palestinian Authority would have responsibility for the administration of the territory under its control. The accords also called for the withdrawal of the Israeli defense forces from parts of the Gaza Strip and West Bank. In the letters of mutual recognition, the PLO acknowledged the state of Israel and pledged to reject violence, and Israel recognized the PLO as the representative of the Palestinian people and as partner in negotiations. Yasser Arafat was allowed to return to the occupied Palestinian territories. In 1995, the Oslo I Accord was followed by Oslo II. Neither promised Palestinian statehood. Well, that was Today in History over Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. I'm Anna Trijayakasih.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
The Week Spotlight presents Top Issue of the Week.
Listeners, this is highlight of the week from RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia with me, Hernita, entitled 35,000 Megawatt Power Project Speed Up. Listener, the administration of Joko Widodo Yusuf Kala targets to build 35,000 megawatt power plant for the next 5 years. However, some parties doubt the ambitious target concerning experience of the previous government. Previously, smaller target from the one unveiled by President Joko Widodo could not be met. In a cabinet meeting earlier this week at the State Palace, President Joko Widodo confirmed that the construction of 35,000 megawatt mega project until 2019 should be done maximally. The president explained that the project speeds up regarding electricity crisis threat in 2019. According to him, electric need is highly urgent to fulfill the realized growth of Indonesia's economy. On the other hand, Coordinating Ministry of Maritime, Rizal Ramli, suggested that the government and related parties revise the target into 16,000 megawatt. According to Minister Rizal Ramli, the target of 35,000 megawatt will harm the state power company PT PLN. It is because there will be more than 25,000 megawatt of excess power that PLN should pay, although the excess cannot be absorbed by PLN consumers. Minister of Energy and Mineral Resources Sudirman Said said that he would not respond to the suggestion of Minister Rizal Ramli. Minister Sudirman keeps holding the mandate of President to do the 35,000 megawatt project during working cabinet period. Minister of Energy and Mineral Resources explained that the amount of 35,000 megawatt is an idea with preparation. It has been reviewed and planned. In his view, the needs of people in the upcoming years become the main priority and the project should go on. The Indonesian Forum for the Environment, WALHI, evaluated that the economic slowdown is the right moment to conserve natural resources, not to exploit natural resources massively instead. Pius Ginting from Study Unit said that the powerhouse construction is prioritized out of Java Island because electricity crisis mostly happens on the islands out of Java. In addition, power project construction out of Java does not really affect people and fields. Meanwhile, to smooth the 35,000 megawatt project, the government prepares deregulation of various permits that hamper powerhouse construction. Listener, that ends highlight of the week from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Thank you for listening. Hello listener, welcome to Week in Review, featuring several events that happening during this week. Stay tuned. We start on Monday, September 7th, 2015. Vice President Yusuf Kalla received the Presidential Advisory Council One Team Press on Monday afternoon to discuss political, legal, and security issues. The other members of the council who met the Vice President were Siddharto Danubroto and Rusti Kirana. According to One Team Press Chief Sri Adiningsih, the council had suggested that the government strengthen coordination in the economic field and other sectors which will help boost economic growth. At the meeting, the council also touched on future development programs in Indonesia in view of the many external and internal problems the country must deal with. She added the council had also discussed legal problems which have now become the center of public attention with the vice president. Still on Monday, Mayor of Padang City, West Sumatra, said the city administration will host the Indonesian Indian Ocean Local Government Forum, or Indonesia IOLGF, on September 8 and 9, Mayor Mahyildi S. Ansarullah said on Monday. The event is an initiative of the Padang administration and is aimed at establishing the forum as a warm-up before the Indian Ocean Rim Association IORA Summit to be held from October 20th to 23rd. In addition, this meeting will be attended by speakers from Perth or Australia and Dubai, United Arab Emirates, who will discuss preparations for the formation of the Perth-Padang-Dubai path. The region is home to about 2 billion people, with much cultural diversity and richness in languages, religions, traditions, art, and cuisines. On Tuesday, September 8, 2015, Indonesia's economic situation at the beginning of the second half is slowed down due to the influence of the global economy. This makes foreign investors who invest in Indonesia withdraw their funds from the market so that a number of companies begin to be affected. Whereas Indonesia is currently in need of quite large foreign investment funds, especially to help the development of infrastructure projects that being undertaken by the government. Coordinating Minister of Economy, Darmin Nasution, at the meeting with the Budget Committee of House of Representatives DPR in Jakarta on Tuesday said that Indonesia could invite back investors by inviting the related countries.
Fluktuasi akan bisa saja terjadi, tapi ya mestinya tidak dalam.
Economic fluctuation could be happened anytime. What should be done by the government? Firstly, how to invite the funds from abroad by taking some efforts such as money loan or by inviting investors, open new market or making cooperation.
Bisa minjam duit juga, ya kan? Dalam situasi begini, bisa juga mengundang investor, bisa juga dengan cara market atau dengan kerjasama.
In addition, Minister of Economy Darmin Nasution also hoped that the development activities would run smoothly. According to him, grant for capital expenditures is badly needed. On the same day, Tuesday, the Indonesian Finance Minister Bambang Brojonegoro said the regulation would be simplified on the disbursement of Rural Development Fund. The disbursement of the 20.7 trillion rupiah Rural Fund could accelerate rural development and improve the purchasing power of the people. He said a joint decision of three ministers, Finance Minister, Home Affairs Minister, and Rural and Backward Area Development Minister, on the disbursement of the fund for 74,093 villages this year. The largest share of the fund is for Central Java, followed by East Java and Aceh. On Wednesday, September 9th, 2015, Bank Indonesia has issued a policy package on the monetary side. Quoting from BI's official website, there are 5 points in the policy package. The first point is strengthening control of inflation and encouraging the real sector from the supply side of the economy. The details include strengthening coordination of the inflation controlling team and the regional inflation control team in order to accelerate the implementation of the national and regional inflation control roadmap. The second point is maintaining stability of the exchange rate by maintaining the confidence of market players in the foreign exchange market. The third point is strengthening the management of rupiah liquidity. Bank Indonesia provides hedging swap facility to support infrastructure investments and at the same time strengthening the foreign exchange reserves. Still on Wednesday, Indonesian Institute of Science LIPI increased research to conserve plants in many districts in Indonesia. LIPI not only conserves in Indonesia, it also exchanges plants material from many countries based on the ecosystem similarity. It was said by a researcher of plants conservation of LIPI, Siti Sofia, to RRI Voice of Indonesia, in public discussion of biodiversity conservation at LIPI's building on Wednesday.
Ada beberapa tanaman yang kita dapat dari luar negeri juga itu biasanya.
There are many plants that we got from foreign countries. They are usually by material exchanges. We know that another country has also botanical gardens, so we exchange material. Similarly, we conserve plants not only from Indonesia but also from other countries such as Mexico and other countries. It is based on the ecosystem. Usually it is not a problem from the ecosystem. It can be a problem if it is many, but it also depends on plant's characteristic and by the botanical garden it is not a problem.
Tapi kalau di kami di kebun raya tidak merusak ekosistem.
Meanwhile, Deputy of Biodiversity Unit of LIPI, Eni Sudarno Wati, said that the sustainable conservation is expected to slow down the extinction of plants in Indonesia, which has biggest percentage diversity in the world. On Thursday, September 10, 2015, Indonesian President Joko Widodo discussed economic issues with 23 rectors of the State Institute of Higher Learning across Indonesia during a luncheon at the State Palace. At the luncheon, the president said that currently the Indonesian political situation has been stable and guarantee the security as well as its political stability. According to the presidential communication team, the meeting with the rectors is part of the president's routine agenda aimed at enabling him to interact with various elements of the community. At the meeting, the president was accompanied by Chief of the Presidential Staff, Tetan Mastuki, who remarked that the president was keen to hear the views of academics from across the country for seeking solutions to the current economic problems faced by the country. During the meeting, the president was also accompanied by Minister State Secretary Pratikno. Still on Thursday, Indonesian President Joko Widodo said in Jakarta that Indonesia would be able to overcome the challenge of the current global economic slowdown. He expressed the conviction that despite the impact of global economic slowdown, political and security situation in Indonesia are conducive. The statement was made during the meeting with university rectors from across the country at the State Palace. President Joko Widodo explained that the government had produced an economic stimulus package to move the real estate sector and increase budget spending as well as rural fund disbursement for labor-intensive activities. On Friday, September 11, 2015, Ricard Jami, the head of the regional office of the Ministry of Transportation, noted Indonesian Ministry of Transportation has agreed on a plan to develop an airport on the island of Adanora in the district of East Flores in eastern East Nusa Tenggara province. The work may be started in 2016 if no problem is encountered. He gave the statement to Antara when contacted from Jakarta after presenting the result of a survey on three prospective locations identified for the development of the airport. He remarked that the Transportation Ministry would immediately issue the principal permit for the Adonara Airport project. For preparing the master plan and environmental impact analysis report, Jami's office had already proposed to allocate funds in the East Nusa Tenggara revised budget for 2015. Speaking in connection with the environmental impact analysis report, he affirmed that the construction could be started while the analysis is still being carried out. Listener, that was the Weekend Review.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id. Welcome back, listener. Here is news in brief. President Joko Widodo received the King Abdul Aziz Medal awarded at the Al Salam Diwan Malaki Palace. Minister of Agrarian Affairs and Spatial Planning, Head of National Land Agency Ferry Murshidan, promised to speed up certification of land in border regions of Indonesia. Indonesian Councillor in Vanimo, Papua New Guinea, Elmar Iwan Lubis, reported Saturday, September 12, that two Indonesian citizens were being held hostage by an unknown group in Skotiau village, Papua New Guinea. The Islamic Development Bank, IDB, is in the process of drafting a $5 billion US financing program to establish strategic cooperation with its member states. Susilo Bambang Yudhoyono, the chairman of the Global Green Growth Institute, said recently, the global population is expected to reach 9 billion by 2045. Listener, that was news in brief of our RRI's World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. I'm Nuka Kusumawati. Thank you for listening.
Voice of Indonesia can be heard daily through audio streaming at www.voi.co.id.
You're still tuned to the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, to the frequencies of 9525 kHz, 11.785 kHz, and 15.150 kHz. You can also listen through our audio streaming at www.voi.co.id. Here is our next program, Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
This is RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia with Indonesian Wonder, a special segment featuring Indonesian tourism, including places of interest, culture and tradition, and also culinary. Today, I will introduce the cuisine of Yogyakarta, Sego Abang Lombok Ijo. So stay tuned in RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Besides, via shortwave, you can also listen to this broadcast through www.voi.co.id. In Indonesia, Yogyakarta can be regarded as a paradise for fans of traditional cuisine, especially Japanese cuisine. For in the city, there are many eating places that offer a variety of traditional food that you must try if you are visiting Yogyakarta. One that you should try is Sego Abang Lombok Ijo. Thank you. Sego abang in Javanese means red or brown rice, and lombok ijo is actually green chili. But lombok ijo here, to be exact, is sayur lodeh lombok ijo, which is side dish with green chili. It is the typical regional cuisine of Gunung Kidul area. As the name implies, the dish is definitely hot and spicy. Usually, eating places in Yogyakarta that provide sego abang lombok ijo is open every day from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. A serving of sego abang lombok ijo consists of red rice, yang papaya, vegetables and green chilies dish, and various side dishes. Sayur lodeh is coconut milk with vegetable stuffing in the form of green chili and tempeh. There are several options for side dishes ranging from fried chicken, meat, tofu, tempeh, boto, and pepes. All dishes except boto and pepes are first cooked in bacem style, which is cooked with coconut milk and brown sugar. Only then they were fried. This culinary is very popular because of the spicy blend of savory flavor of lodeh, the sweet and savory of the various side dishes, and presenting a taste sensation that makes people addicted when eaten with warm brown rice, not to mention the slightly bitter taste of yang papaya. Sego abang lombok ijo is indeed a culinary with a very rich taste sensation. For your lovers of spicy taste, you can order special chili onion sauce that will increase appetite. Of the most popular side dish is fried chicken and meat. And not only delicious, brown rice also has several advantages over ordinary rice. For it has more fibers with low sugar contents, and it is good for people with diabetes and digestion problems. As a companion to enjoy sego abang lombok ijo, there are several types of traditional Javanese beverages such as wedang uwo. Uwo in Javanese means trash or garbage. Really doesn't sound interesting, right? But it is named wedang uwo because the ingredients consist of an assortment of leaves or herbs, so it looks like garbage or trash. The leaves used are not just any leaves, but those with health benefits. So, besides wedang uwo, there is also teh poci gula batu or tea in a clay pot with rock sugar, added with some lemon. For the price, one serving of sego abang lombok ijo is 6,000 rupiahs or less than half dollar. As for the side dish, they start at 1,500 rupiahs to 1,600 rupiahs. So the most expensive one is around $1. Well, that was Indonesian Wonder today. Introducing sego abang lombok ijo from Yogyakarta. Until next week with another edition of Indonesian Wonder, I'm Anna Trijayakasih.
Miscellany on Indonesia, a segment featuring various actual information.
This is RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia with Miscellany. a regular segment featuring various aspects of Indonesia, including arts and culture, customs and tradition, technology and environment, outstanding figures, even lifestyle. Today's edition will be discussing plastics from cassava. High percentage of non-organic waste, including plastics, estimated to reach more than 15,000 tons per day, has made the Indonesian government continues to encourage manufacturers to use biodegradable plastic. Out of concern for the environment, a plastic researcher from PT Inter Aneka Lestari Chemistry, Asmu Wahyu Saptora Harjo, came up with an innovation to make plastics from cassava as the main material. Asmu Wahyu recently said, if we can produce hundreds of tons of plastic per month with cassava as the raw material. This breakthrough has brought Asmu a LIPI Science-Based Industrial Innovation Award in 2013. The idea of making plastics from cassava came from seeing huge plastic waste in Indonesia, which is difficult to decompose. Compared to regular plastic bags, plastic made by Asmu is more biodegradable. Ordinary plastic takes 2 to 3 months to decompose. The plastic made by Asmu takes only 40 days. The plastic, which contains 60% of the cassava, would be eaten by frogs, snakes, and even worms or other reptiles. Asmu explained he has been doing research on animals that eat the cassava plastic of and send it to the Netherlands. The result is that the animals that ate the plastics remain in a healthy condition. The way to produce cassava plastic is the same to the production of ordinary plastic with an addition of cassava starch. Therefore, the price of this plastic is more expensive than the price of conventional plastics. According to Asmu, the cassava plastic has not been widely used by retail companies in Indonesia. However, it has been exported to several countries such as India, Africa, and Madagascar. Asmu said plastic production of cassava could increase the value of cassava itself as increasingly required in the industry. He hoped that the procedure of planting cassava in Indonesia could be improved. According to Asmu, planting in a good way could increase the production of cassava. Currently, farmers in Indonesia can only produce 10 tons of cassava in 1 hectare, while Thailand can produce 40 tons of cassava in every hectare. Well, that was Miscellany Today. Until another edition of Miscellany over Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Again tomorrow with another miscellany on Indonesia.
Hello listener, wherever you are, welcome back to Listener's Mailbag, a weekly segment in which your letters and emails are acknowledged. In this segment, we'll also play some Indonesian music. Well, listener, we would like to thank you, our dear listeners, wherever you are, who have sent your letters or emails containing reception reports on our broadcast. And now let's start answering your letters or emails. First, I would like to read an email sent by Tadao Yoshi from Japan. He was listening to our broadcast in Japanese language through frequency of 9525 kHz at 1200 hours to 1300 hours UTC on August 11, 2015. And the SIN code was 33333. Hello, Mr. Tadao Yoshi. Thank you very much for your attention and appreciation on our broadcast. For your complaint where you were difficult to hear our radio, as for the later half of our broadcast, we'll deliver this complaint to our technical division, and we hope for the next day you can listen to Japanese program through our broadcast clearly. And as your request, we have sent our QSL card to your home, so please be patient to wait for it, okay? Thank you very much. Well, Mr. Tadao Yoshi, keep listening to our broadcast and send your reception report. Special for you and also for our regular listeners, we'll play a song. Listen, and before we play another beautiful song, we will reply an email from Muhammad Shahin Patwari. In his email, Shahin asked to send our latest program schedule. Hello, Mr. Shahin Patwari. Thank you very much for your email. Dated July 31st, 2015. For our program schedule, we suggest you to visit our website www.voi.co.id. Through our website, you can also listen to our audio on demand if you miss some of our programs. Well, Mr. Shahin Patwari, keep listening to our broadcast and send your reception report. For you, we'll play another beautiful song. Let's check it out.
bergetar saat menatap kedua matamu, melahirkan seutas keinginan untuk memilikimu. Kian bertahan memandang raut wajahmu, ku lihat sebuah jalan yang langsung menuju batinmu. Sudikah kiranya kau mengizinkan diriku untuk sejenak berkunjung ke dalam hatimu, pastikan ku ada di sana. Ku terbenam saat kau jatuh dalam pelukku, menata semua perasaan saat kau ada denganku. Sudikah kiranya kau mengizinkan diriku untuk sejenak berkunjung ke dalam hatimu, pastikan ku ada di sana. Ku ingin waktu biar berhenti di sini, agar senantiasa tak kunjung engkau pergi seperti malam menanti.
Listen, and now we continue to reply an email from Jahangir Alamanto in Bangladesh. He was listening to our broadcast through frequency of 9525 kHz on August 13, 2015 in English program, and the SINPO was 33343. Hello, Mr. Jahangir Alamanto, how are you? We are really glad to receive your email again. And Mr. Jahangir is one of our regular listeners in Bangladesh who always monitors our radio. Thank you for your report, and special for you and our other regular listeners, we'll play this song. Let's check it out.
Buayan, pesona dirimu membawaku masuk ke alam buayan. Masih teringat jelas waktu kau hadir di depanku. Buayan, buayan, terpukau ku dibuatmu. Buayan, akan ku catat dalam ingatan yang tak ternilai buayan. Sementara waktu kan merekam jejak kisah kita. Tak perlu kau mengerti rasaku kepadamu, biarkan jadi urusanku. Tak usah ku pahami rasamu kepadaku, biarkan jadi urusanmu. Lihat senja tertegun terpikar oleh dirimu, menampung serang menerang cahaya kan hadirmu. Buayan menerpa merasuki jiwa yang tengah disentuh. Buayan, mungkinkah kelak suatu hari kau kan jadi milikku. Buayan, buayan, terpukau ku dibuatmu. Buayan, akan ku catat dalam ingatan yang tak ternilai. Buayan, sementara waktu kan merekam jejak kisah kita.
Listener now will reply an email from Riaz Ahmad Khan in Pakistan. Thank you for your email dated August 12, 2015. Mr. Riaz Ahmad Khan said that the Sinpo of all broadcast was very excellent. It was 55555. Hello, Mr. Riaz Ahmad Khan. Thank you for your reception report, which is very detailed. We really appreciate your report. Well, Mr. Riaz Ahmad Khan, we are looking forward to receiving your next email with your reception report on our broadcast. Thank you very much. Well, listener, those are emails that we have received, but unfortunately, we have to sign off. We appreciate very much your reception reports on our broadcast. Please send your letters to Voice of Indonesia English Service, PO Box 1157, Jakarta, 10110, Indonesia. I'll repeat again, Voice of Indonesia English Service, PO Box 1157, Jakarta, 10110, Indonesia. Or you can also send your email to info@voi.co.id, info@voi.co.id, or to english@voi.co.id, english@voi.co.id. Don't forget to visit and like our fan pages on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, or you can also follow our Twitter @VoiIndonesia. You can also join our Instagram, voice_of_Indonesia. Well, listener, to conclude listener's mailbag for today, we will play a song. I'm Ania Sana. Thank you for listening, and we'll meet again next week in listener's mailbag. Bye-bye.
Waktu itu kau bersamanya menjadi bulan-bulanan oleh perasaan ku diabaikan dalam sendu hatiku membiru terperangkap menggerutu
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz and 11785 kHz for English program, or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id, or send your letter to Voice of Indonesia, RRI World Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, or P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10011, Indonesia. And join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, VoI Indonesia.